This morning we're going to focus on the theme of the for Gem Sunday with their theme Love Overflows, and they already read their text for this Gem Sunday, and that's from 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12. But I'm going to read the context of that. So we're going to read from 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 6 through 13. So hear then the word of God. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. And then in that context, verse 12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you may be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when the Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And so far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, and especially the Gems here this morning, I'm sure most of us have been to a restaurant at times, and we order a drink that they call a bottomless cup or a bottomless drink. You know, you order a glass of pop or juice or maybe a cup of coffee, and the waitress brings you a full glass, a full cup. And as you eat your meal, she just keeps coming around again and keeps filling up your glass or your cup. It's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, you order one drink, but it's like it just keeps filling up over and over again. It's like the cup never runs dry, and the waitress just keeps filling it up over and over and over again until finally you say, okay, I've had enough. I don't need any more. Well, that bottomless kind of drink captures the Gems theme verse from 1 Thessalonians 3:12. We've heard it before, but let's read it again where it says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Now, the Apostle Paul, the writer of this, he writes about a love that overflows, a love that never runs dry, a love that keeps on giving at all times. And even in those times when you feel that you've got no more to give, Paul says, just keep giving it. Just keep loving people as God wants you to. So what's happening here? What has inspired the Apostle Paul to be inspired by God to write these words? Well, he writes this as a type of prayer for some new Christians who were living in a church in a city called Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a city that's still in modern Greece today, at the top of a body of water called the Aegean Sea. And Thessalonica at that time, so about 2,000 years ago, was a bustling city. They figure of maybe about 200,000 people, so a little bit bigger than Wingham. And it was known as a city for its commerce, and it was a busy port kind of city. Now, in the Bible, in Acts 17, we can read there how the church in Thessalonica was started off. We can read how Paul and his missionary partner, Silas, how they went to preach in the city of Thessalonica. And what they did is they first of all went to the Jews, hoping that they could tell the Jews about the good news of Jesus. And so they pointed these Jews to Jesus, the promised Messiah, the Savior of this world. And they showed these Jews that Jesus had come to forgive them through his death on the cross, and that he rose again to give them new life on Easter Sunday. And because of Paul's preaching, many of the Jews there in Thessalonica that were living there, they came to believe in Jesus. But at the same time, there were also some other Jews who refused to believe in Jesus. These Jews didn't like this teaching about Jesus. And they were actually jealous about the crowds who came to hear Paul preach. And so what these Jews did is they gathered some people together and they started a ruckus with the intent of trying to chase Paul and Silas out of town. That's exactly what happened. Paul and Silas, they fled for their lives and they stayed in a nearby town of Berea. And from there, they wrote this letter then. And despite the fact that the church in Thessalonica was experiencing persecution, in many amazing ways, the church continued to grow, and these new Christians, they stayed strong in their faith in Jesus. And Paul writes this letter then to encourage them and to assure them of his continued prayers for them. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. Now Paul encourages them to continue to grow in their faith and their love, and that they do so because of their hope in Jesus. And you know, that would also be Paul's prayer for us today. He also would say to us, hey, people of God, continue to grow in your faith and your love for Jesus, and do that because of the hope that Jesus gives you in the first place. Which begs the question, how can we as Gems, how can we as a church have a love that keeps on growing and giving, a love that just oozes out of who we are? How can we have the kind of love that keeps overflowing to other people? Well, we can only have that kind of love if it hinges on the fact of knowing that we know how much God loves us in the first place. You see, love is one of those crazy emotions that's kind of hard to pin down. I mean, how do we define this thing called love? I mean, it would be nice if you know, we could just take this emotion called love and that we would just put it into a bottle and then we'd put the lid on tight, and whenever we find a situation where a little bit more love is needed, that we just take the lid off and, you know, that we just sprinkle a little bit of a love in that situation. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that? That we could take our love and you know, that we could sprinkle it amongst other people in our lives. And that we could show the love of Jesus to people around us, because we know that it's love that ultimately will make the world a better place. Now, over the years, we've all listened to some of those sappy love songs, you know, that are out there, right, on the radio or wherever we listen to it, on our phones or whatever we listen to the music to. Over the years, we watch movies with love stories, and we can even have those little, you know, those love emojis fluttering across our screens, right? All those things that we hope will somehow make us feel good about ourselves. But when we talk about love, we actually use that word love in different ways. I mean, we can love a certain book. We can say we love a certain movie. We can love a certain food or a certain dessert. And so we can say, you know, I just love triple chocolate ice cream. I just love it, right? And then we go to church on Sunday. And we sing songs about our love for God. Songs about our love for Jesus. So what's happening here? How can we say we love a certain kind of food or a certain kind of ice cream, and then we turn right around and we use that same word to talk about God? A God who brought this universe into existence. How can we do that with that same word, love? What gives here? Love can be a confusing kind of thing when we sit here on earth. But from where God sits, love is absolutely amazing. Take the Gems song that we heard them sing earlier. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. On and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never, never have to be afraid. One thing remains. Your love never fails. It never gives up on me, right? God's love is so amazing. No matter how old we are, if we're just one of the young girls up front here, or we're an older person, you know, like Lauren, 86. Isn't that what you are, Lauren? Something like that, right? 35, right? Yeah, right. You know, it doesn't matter how old we are. We'll never fully understand what God's love is really all about. Because God's love is far beyond what our feeble minds can comprehend. And every one of us, at times, we mess up in life. And sure, there are consequences, but you know what? God continues to love us even when we make a mess of our lives. At times, we lie. At times, we cheat and steal. And yes, there are consequences, but God continues to love us no matter what. And because God's love never fails, it never runs out, and it never gives up on us. Because of God's love, He's taken the first step. And He will always take the first step. Even when our relationship is somewhat strained or broken, God will always take the first step to restore our relationship with Him. And the reason for that? Because God sent His beloved Son Jesus to be born into this world as one of us. And He suffered a cruel death on a cross. He rose again on Easter Sunday, and He now serves on our behalf at the right hand of God in heaven. And that's how much God loves you and me. God gave everything of Himself for you and me. Do you believe that? That He loves us so much that He was even willing to give up His life for you and for me. Well, if we believe that, then God says, I want you to show that in the way that you live your life. Show it that you are a different person because of God's amazing gift of love for us. That we can now love and serve other people in our school, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, because we know that Jesus' love for us never fails and never runs out. That we now have a new identity because of God's love for us in Jesus. Now, maybe some of us have heard of someone by the name of Clark Kent. Any of you ever heard of Clark Kent? He's someone that, you know, sometimes is also better known as Superman, right? And Clark Kent has a daily job as a newspaper reporter, but he's also Superman. And as Superman, he can fly around the world to save the world from impending destruction. And nobody knows that Clark Kent is Superman, or that Superman is Clark Kent. And when he's Clark Kent, that he can't fly. He can only fly when he's Superman. And so what happens when Clark Kent forgets that he's Superman? He can't fly. And so how does Clark Kent go about flying again? It's quite simple. Someone needs to remind him that he needs to rip off his outer clothing and take off his suit and tie and lay bare that new outfit underneath. And then he's able to fly. Clark Kent Clark Kent needs to believe that he's Superman, that he needs to rip off his old outer clothing and to reveal that big fat S on his chest. Then he's able to fly. Well, the Bible tells us that when we truly experience God's grace and God's love in our lives, then we take on a new identity. We become a new creature. A new creation in Jesus, enabling us to fly, enabling us to embrace a love that overflows in our lives. We are empowered with a love that continues to increase and never runs dry. And we experience that when we know that Jesus loves us, when we know that Jesus accepts us without condition, that he's adopted us as part of his family, that he's forgiven us despite the mess that we make sometimes of our lives, that he encourages us in every situation of our lives, even sometimes when we feel down in the dumps, because we know that we are still always the apple of his eye. God values us more than anything else because of his unconditional love for us in Jesus. Nothing is more dear to him. He just keeps loving us more than anything else because his love never runs dry. And as God looks down upon us, as we love and serve other people with the sacrificial love that he's shown to us in Jesus, as we go out into the community to serve others by cleaning up their yards like a number of us did yesterday, or as we serve other people in our lives, whether they be our neighbors or people that we go to school with or people in our workplaces, when we do that, when we love and serve other people in that way, then it gives God a big smile on his face, and he says, you know what, that's my kid, that's my beloved kid, those are the ones that are serving me in this world. And that's who we are, because we live out God's love for us in our lives. We show the love of Jesus to the people around us in response to God's love for us in Jesus. And so as GEMS girls, as a church gathered here this morning, can we accept that about ourselves? That God makes us new people. That God gives us a new identity because of his love, because of his acceptance to us in Jesus. If so, then we need to fly and allow God's love to overflow out of us as we seek to serve other people in his name. That we love and serve others out of response to God's love for us in Jesus. That we become a giver of Jesus' overflowing love in us. As the Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Now, I started off this message by talking about going to a restaurant, right? About enjoying a bottomless drink. Now, there's one detail that maybe you might have missed. When we drink from the glass and the waitress comes to fill it back up again, what do we need to do? We need to drink from it, right? We need to drink from the glass before she's able to fill it up again, right? Because if we were never to take even a sip from the glass full of refreshing drink, she won't bother filling it up again because it's still full, right? And that way the drink just sits there, and after a while it will become stale, the fizz will go out of it, and it'll just kind of be lukewarm, right? But when we drink of it, the new pop or the new drink that the waitress pours into the glass not only fills up the glass, but it cools off and refreshes the drink that's still in the glass. We need to drink from the glass in order for it to be filled up again. And that's also how it works when we become a giver of God's love in our lives. Once we give it, Once we share God's love with others, guess what? God will fill us back up again with his love. When a waitress brings us a glass of pop, think about what would happen if we would just sit there and look at that glass and just say, wow, what a nice glass, eh? What a beautiful glass. And look at the nice pop in there. And we would look at it and admire it, but never drink from it. What would that say to the waitress? Well, maybe this person didn't like the drink. Maybe they didn't appreciate the drink that I bought them. No, we don't do that. We drink it not only because we've ordered the drink, but we want to enjoy this cool and refreshing drink. And when God shows his extravagant love to us over and over again, does he want us to just sit there and admire his gift of love for us? Of course not. If all we do is come to church on Sunday morning to sing songs about God's love and stuff like that, or if we go to GEMS on a Thursday night and we do nothing about what we learn about God's love, then this love is something that will soon become stale. The fizz will go out of it, and our hearts will become indifferent to God and his love for us in Jesus. Our love for Jesus will become lukewarm. It won't be a whole lot of good to us or to other people. And the longer we go down that path, the more indifferent our hearts will become, and the more stale our love will be. But here's the good news. Here's the good news that GEMS verse expresses. What God wants for us is to not only drink from the well of his love that never runs dry, to drink from the well that continually refreshes us, but God wants us to live that out in our lives. God wants to keep filling us with his love so that our love can overflow through us to other people. Because his love never stops. Our love for others can overflow out of the abundance of God's love for us. We need to take in God's love because God wants us to be a giver of his love. And we need to give it away by forgiving the person who sometimes does something mean to us, to the person who wrongs us in some way, even when it might seem like it's the hardest thing for us to do, to forgive that person. God says, go do it anyway, because God says, I will fill you back up again. And when we choose to reach out to someone and try to be a friend with someone that we sometimes find difficult to love, God says, go do it anyway. Because God says, I will fill you up again with my gift of grace and love. And when we step out of our comfort zone to defend someone at school or at work who's being bullied, it's never easy for us to help that person, is it? But God promises that he will fill us back up again with the assurance of his unconditional love for us. And when we help out the single mom in our neighborhood who's struggling to make ends meet, when we show the kind of Christ-like sacrificial love for other people in that way, then God promises that he will fill us back up again. And when we go out of our way after the church service, when we get out of our comfort zone to reach out to someone who's new at church or maybe someone who's sitting or standing by themselves in the fellowship hall, then we say, hi, I'm Henry. I don't think we've met before, but I'm glad to meet you. When we get stretched out of our comfort zone in that way to show God's love to others like that, then God says he will fill us back up again. And when we show up on a Saturday morning to rake the yards of seniors or handicapped people in the community like many of us did yesterday, even though maybe we'd rather stay home and to relax, God says he will fill us back up again. Because that's God's love in action. And every time we show an act of God's love to the people around us, then God will not only refresh us with his amazing gift of love, with the promise that our hearts will never run dry, that our love will always increase so that we can keep on giving and giving in the good times, but even in the not so good times of our lives. We can keep on giving even in those times when we feel like we don't have a whole lot more love to give. God keeps telling us to love others as He loves us, because He will always fill us back up again with the assurance of His love and His grace for us in Jesus. And that's the message of hope that we need to hang on to with the theme verse that the GEMS Club focused on in this past year, a message of love and grace from our one true God. So GEMS girls, so Maitland River Church, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way that your love continues to overflow into our lives. That your love for us never runs dry. That you keep on loving us even in the times when we make a mess of our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us so much that you are willing to send your beloved Son, your only Son, into this world to die on a cruel cross, to take away our sin and shame. Thank you for the way that you continue to refresh us with the assurance of your grace. And help us, Lord God, not only to embrace that your amazing gift of love for us, to embrace the gift of your grace and mercy in our lives, but help us, Lord God, to become a giver of your love to the people around us in our lives, that we may love and serve others in the same sacrificial way that you have shown your love for us in Jesus. Help us to trust that when we serve others in that way, that you will indeed continue to fill us back up again. That our love for others will flow out of the abundance of the love of that you showed to us in Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that you will use us. Use us to share the love of Jesus with the people of this community, so that the people around us may also come to know you, may also come to know that you are a gracious and merciful God, a God who loves them, and a God who wants to show your love into their lives too. And so, Lord God, help us to be used as vessels of your love in the people around us, and that we may do that out of thankfulness for all that you've done for us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.